B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Tainis Daf Chof Aleph. We're going to start from the very top line of the Omud. In the previous Gemara, we learnt about the dangers of walking under or beyond a very dilapidated wall, a weak wall, a wall that's at risk of falling. And the Gemara is going to continue in that theme. Ilfa v'Rabbi Yochanan have a gorosi bo'iraisa. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were learning Torah. Dechikalu milsa tuva. And they were very poor people. They both were very financially disadvantaged. Omri, they said, Nekem v'nezel v'nevet iska. Let's go up. Let's get up and go and take and start a business in order we can earn some more money. Unekayim b'nafshin, and we will keep, we will fulfill regarding ourselves. Efes ki lo yeh b'cho evyin. The Torah says that amongst you there will be no really poor people, and they read that the word b'cho is going on you. You, Ilfa, you, Rabbi Yochanan, don't be poor, and go out and start making some money. Ozlu oisva tusa gudariya. They went out, they started looking for business, and they sat down next to a very weak, dilapidated wall. Have a kokorchi rifta. They were eating their bread. Osu trei malachi asharos and two malachim came. Shom e Rabbi Yochanan de omar chad lechavrei. Ilfa didn't hear anything, but Rabbi Yochanan heard that one malach said to the other malach, Nishda alayu hai guda. Let's throw onto them this wall, v'niktalinu. And then they will be killed. Shemanichin chayoilim abo, because they are forsaking the pursuit of eternal life, which is their learning Torah, v'oizkin b'chayesho, and they're occupying themselves with the more mundane and temporary needs of this world. Omer le, idoch, the other malach said, shavkinu, leave them. De'ikabuhu chad de'kaimelu shaito, because one of the two, of these two chachomim that are sitting here, it's now his time. If he does something right now, he's really going to make it. And therefore, keep them alive. And Rashi says it's not yet his time to die. Rabbi Yochanan Shoma, Ilfa Lo Shoma. Only Rabbi Yochanan heard this conversation, Ilfa didn't. Omale Rabbi Yochanan de Ilfa. So Rabbi Yochanan inquired and asked Ilfa, Shoma Mar Midi, did you hear anything, my master? Omale Ilfa said to Rabbi Yochanan, Loi, I don't know what you're talking about, I can't hear anything. Omar, so Rabbi Yochanan said to himself, Mida shomi ano, v'ilfa lo shoma. Since I heard that conversation and Ilfa didn't, shma mino, it would be seen from here, ledidi kaimeli shaito, that message was for me, that now it's my time that I can really make it in the Beis HaMedrash and continue learning. Omar, Rabbi Yochanan said to Ilfa, Ahadar, let me go back to the Beis HaMedrash, let me go back to learn, I've changed my mind. V'oiki b'nafshoi, and I've got a different posuk that will be fulfilled with me. The posuk says, Ki lo yechdal evyoin mikerev ha'oretz, there'll always be poor people amongst you, and I'll be one of those poor people. Rabbi Yochanan hodar, Ilfa lo hodar. So Rabbi Yochanan went back to the yeshiva, and Ilfa didn't. Ilfa continued on his venture of making money and opening a business. Ad da'os Ilfa, at some point later on, by the time Ilfa came back to the yeshiva after he had opened his business and made the money he wanted to make, Molech Rabbi Yochanan, by that time Rabbi Yochanan had been crowned as the Rosh Hashiva, the head of the yeshiva. And the custom was, in those days, that the person who was the Rosh Hashiva, he would be financially supported and well taken care of by all the people. Omruloi, when Ilfa came back, they said to him, I osiv mar vagoris. Had you, Ilfa, sat and learnt Torah like Rabbi Yochanan did, loy have a molich mar, then we wouldn't have crowned Rabbi Yochanan as the Rosh Hashiva, rather we would have crowned you instead. And Ilfa took this as some type of a criticism on the fact that he'd left his Gemara, he'd left the Beis HaMedrash and gone to work. And he was now going to prove to them that his going out to work had not disadvantaged him in any way from his commitment to Torah, from his knowledge in Torah. So Ilfa went, Tolo Nafshei, and he balanced himself, Ba'askario de Sfinta, on the mast of a ship, Omar and he said, if anyone can ask me about a brisa, but a confirmed and valid brisa, the ones that Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oishia had confirmed, and I'm not able to demonstrate that the rulings of the brisa can be learnt even from a Mishnah that we have in the Mishnayos, then nofilna me'askaria desfinta, then I will allow myself to fall from the mast, Vatovana, and I'll drown in the sea below. He was confident that nobody would be able to ask him a question about a brisa, and he wouldn't be able to find source for the brisa from a Mishnah. Also, Hahu Saba, a certain old man, came tonale and quoted to Ilfa the following brisa. And this brisa is discussing if a person, before he passed away, before he died, he deposited his money with a trustee, and he gave the trustee instructions on how to distribute the money to his children. Ha'emir, if he said to the trustee, Tenu shekel lebonai b'shabbos, give a shekel to my sons every single week, that should cover their expenses. V'hein ru'uyin lo seis lohem sela, but the expenses of the sons demanded and required not a shekel, but double that, a sela. Noisnim lohem sela, then the trustee is allowed to give the children a whole sela, because we assume that what the father meant was that the needs of the children should be met. And had he wanted to limit it and not give them more than a shekel, even if they would need it, he would have explicitly said, don't give them more than a shekel. Since he didn't say that, we assume that his main intentions was that their needs should be met, and therefore you can give them the sela. V'im Omar, but if he said explicitly, Al titnu lohem elo shekel, only give them a shekel, not more, then ein noisnim lohem elo shekel. Then indeed we only give the children a shekel per week. Im Omar, if this person said to the trustee that Mesu, that if my children die, then Yirshu Achirim Tachtem, then whatever's left of the inheritance, somebody else should inherit it. Bain Sha Omar Tnu, then it doesn't matter if he said, give my sons a shekel a week, or if he said, don't give them more than a shekel, since he clearly made his wish that after his sons pass away, there should still be some of his inheritance left for a different person to inherit it. He clearly intended the money to be saved as much as possible, and therefore the trustee only gives a shekel to the children every week. And now it was Ilfa's turn to find where is there a Mishnah that alludes to such a halacha. Omar Lei, so Ilfa said to this old man, Homani Reb Meir, the Tanna of this Braisa is Reb Meir in a Mishnah. And Omar Reb Meir said, Mitzvah Lekayim Divra Ameis, that we are obligated to fulfill the words of somebody who had passed away, and since this person before he passed away made his wish clear, therefore we follow his instructions as per the Braisa. And now the Gemara is going to tell us about another story about a dilapidated building that did not fall as long as the tzaddik was in it. Omro lov al Nochum ish Gamzu, it was said about Nochum ish Gamzu. We'll soon see why his name was Nochum ish Gamzu. Nochum, the man who said Gamzu, also this. We'll soon see what he said all the time, that also this. What does that mean? We'll come to that soon. And Shahoyo Sumo Mishtei Einov. This Nochum ish Gamzu is blind in both his eyes. Gideim Mishtei Odov, he was missing both his hands. Kitea Mishtei Raglov, he was missing both his legs. V'chol Gufoi Moli Shchin, his whole body was covered with boils. V'hoyo Mutal Bebayis Ru'ua, and he was lying in a dilapidated building, in a dilapidated house. V'raglei Mitoso Imunochin Besfolim Shalmaim, the legs of his beds were placed on pails of water. In order that ants should not crawl up the legs of the bed onto him, because he didn't have hands with which to remove the ants. And Pamachas, at one point, at once, that Hoysa Mitoso Munachas Babais Ru'a, we're talking about that he was on this bed in a dilapidated house. And Bikshu Talmidov Lefanois Mitoso, his Talmidim wanted to remove his bed from the house. Possibly they were afraid that its collapse was imminent. And after that, they wanted to remove, they were planning to remove the furniture and save what could be saved. Omar Lehem. So Nochum ish Gamzu said to his Talmidim, Bonai, my children, my sons, Panu es Akelim, first remove the furniture. Vacharkach Panu es Mitosi, and only after that remove my bed. Shemuftach Lochem, you can be assured. Kolzman Shani Babayis, all the while that I am in the house, in Abayis Neufel. The house is not going to fall, the house is not going to collapse. And we saw before on Daf Chof Amud Beis that it's not good to be in a dilapidated house and rely on a miracle to be preserved from harm, and the Marsha discusses why, regarding Nochemish Gamzu, this was a bit different. Pinu es hakelim, the Talmidim, they removed the furniture, utensils from the house, v'acharkach pinu es mitosoi, and then they removed his bed, v'nofel abayis, and as soon as Nochemish Gamzu was out of the house collapsed. Omru loy Talmidov, the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, our teacher, v'chi me'achal shetzadik gomur ato, since you're obviously such a great and righteous person, lomo also loch kokach, why do you look the way you do? What happened to you? He was blind, had no hands, had no feet, his body was full of boils. Omer Lemi said to them, Bonai, ani goramti la'atzmi, it's my fault, I brought this upon myself. Shepam achas oyisi mehalich baderech, I was once travelling on the way, lebeis chomi, to the home of my father-in-law. V'hoyo imi masoi gimel chamoirim, and I had with me three donkeys loaded with food. Echot shel maichol, one with food, v'echot shel mishte, one with drink, v'echot shel minim megodim, and the third one was full of other delicacies. Bo oni echod, v'omad li baderech. A poor man stood before me on the way. V'omer li and said to me, Rebbe, my teacher, parnaseini, give me something to eat. Sustain me. Omar tila said to him, Hamtin al she'efrik menachamir. No problem, hold on, wait a minute. I'll unload some food from the donkey. Lo yispakti lifrik menachamir. I didn't have time, I didn't have a chance to unload the donkey at she'yotzo nishmosoi until he died. This man seemed to have died from hunger. Holachti, so I went, v'nofalti alponov, and I fell on his face. V'omarti, and I said, Einai sheleichosu aleinecho, my eyes that didn't take pity on your eyes, yosumu, should become blind. Yodai sheleichosu al yodecho, my hands that didn't have pity on your hands, yizgadmu, should fall off, should be cut off. Raglai sheleichosu al raglecho, my feet that didn't have pity on your feet, yizkatu, should be cut off. V'leiniskaro daiti, my mind was still not at rest. Achomarati, until I said, Kol gufi, my whole body, yehei moli shchin, should be full of boils. Omru loy, so the Talmidim said to Nochemish Gamzu, Oy lonu sheri is sinucha b'kach, woe to us that we've seen you like this. Omar Lehemi responded, Oy li, woe would be to me, im loyri is suni b'kach, if you had not seen me like this. And now the Gemara asks, V'amai koru le Nochum ish Gamzu, why did they call him Nochum the Ish Gamzu? Answers the Gemara, Duchal Milsadava Solkele, because anything that would happen to him, even if things looked bleak and negative, nonetheless, Omar, he would say, Gamzu Letoiva. This too is for the best. And that's why people called him Nochum, the man of Gamzu, because everything he would say, Gamzu Letoiva. And now the Gemara is going to give an example of this. Zimna Chod at one time, Bol Ishdure Yisrael Doiron Lebei Kesar. The Yidden wanted and needed to send a gift to the courts of the Caesar. Omru, they said, Man Yezel, who's going to go and deliver the gift? And they decided that Yezel Nochum Ishgamzu. Nochum Ishgamzu can go. De Melumud Benissimhu, because he's accustomed to have miracles happen for him. Shodru Biyadei Meloi Sifto de Avonim Toivois Umargolios. They sent with him a chest full of precious stones and pearls. Ozal, he went Bos Bahahu Dira, and he spent the night in some residence. Belelia, during the night, Kom Muhanoch Dieroi, the other residents that were in the same place as him, they got up, they arose, Veshoklinu Lesifte, they took his chest, they emptied out all the precious stones and pearls, and instead they were mulinhu afra, they filled it with dirt. Lemochor kichozinhu, the next day he saw that there was dirt in it. Omar, he said, Gamzu letoiva, this too is for the best. Kimota hosam, when you arrived at the palace of the Caesar, shorinhu lesifta, they untied this chest, chozinhu demole afra, and they saw it was full of dirt. Bo malko, the emperor, who obviously got very annoyed and wanted to lemiktelinhu lekulu, wanted to kill all of the Yidden. Omar, komachaychu biyodoi, he said, the Yidden are mocking me. They're sending me such an insulting gift. Omar, all Nochem said was gamzu letoiva, this too is for the best. Oselio, Selio Anovi came, Id Malek Echad Minayu, he appeared to the Caesar just as some Roman official. Omer Le and Eliyahu Novi said to the Caesar, Dilma ha Afra, maybe this dirt is Me'afra da Avraham Avuhainhu. Maybe it's from the dirt of their father Avraham, Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu used some dirt when he was fighting against the four kings. Shode Afra, when Avraham would throw the dirt at the enemy, have a cipher. It turned into swords. Gili, and when he threw straw, have a giri. It turned into arrows. As it says in the Pasuk, Yitain Keofor Charboi, that he made his sword like the dirt, Kikash Nidof Kashtoi, and the straw that had been wind blown, his bow was compared to that straw. And indeed, Havyachado Medinto, there was one city, Dulemotsu Lemichbeshah, that the Romans were not able to conquer. So they said, Botku, let's test this earth, Botku Mine, let's test this earth against that city. And indeed, Vekavshua, they managed to conquer it. Ailu Lebeigonze, and after their victory, they went into the vaults of the treasurer, of the emperor, Umeluhu Letzifte Avonim Toivois, and they filled up his whole box with precious stones, Margolias and pearls, as a token of appreciation for the gift that Nochemish Gamzu had brought to the Caesar. V'shadru b'yekor rabba, and they sent him off with very much honor. Ki also, when they were on the way back home, Nochemish Gamzu and the people with him, then bisu b'ahu diura, they again spent the night in the same place, in the same residence. Omru le, the people of the residence said to him, my Isis b'hadoch, what did you bring with you? What did you take with you to the Caesar? Da'ovdiloch yekoroku lehai, that the response was that you accorded such great honor. Omer luhu, Nochem said to them, my deshokli mehocha, amtilosam, whatever I took from here, I brought there to the Caesar. Sasru ledirayhu, they demolished their residence. They said, wow, if that's the value of the dirt of this place, they demolished their residence. Va'amtinu lebimalka, and they brought the dust and the earth to the Caesar, to the royal palace. Omrule, they said to the Caesar, Hai Afra da'aisa hocha, that dirt that Nochemish Gamzu brought here, that proved to be such a miraculous type of an earth, and you defeated that last city with it, here it is, here's some more. They were obviously expecting to be equally reciprocated by the Caesar. But cool, they tested it in some war. V'lo'eshkechu, and it didn't have any miraculous properties. Nothing happened. It was just earth and stone and rubble. V'kotlinu lahanuch d'yiroi, and they killed those residents for trying to make a mockery of the Caesar. Continues the Gemara, and the Gemara is now taking us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ezehu dever, what is the properties of dever, which means how many people have to die over how much time in order to be considered dever, that they would be a day of crying out and fasting, and the cities around would have to cry out, what's considered dever? And the Mishnah said, Irshe Hamitzio Chamesh Meisragli, if there's 500 healthy, strong men in the city, and of them, three die, one in each of three consecutive days, that's called dever. Tonu Rabbonon, we learnt in a Braisa, Ir Hamitzio Chamesh Meis Ve'elef Ragli. If you have a place, a city that's got 1,500 healthy men, Kagoin Kfar Akoi, like the place called Kfar Akoi, V'yotze meno tisha meisim, the same ratio as in the Mishnah. If nine people die, b'shloisha yomim zeach hazeh, over three consecutive days, which means that three people die on each of three consecutive days, harei zeh dever, that's considered dever. B'yom echod, however, if all nine die in one day, which is similar to the case of the Mishnah, if you only have 500 men and all three die in one day, oy b'dalet yomim, or they die over a span of more than 3 days, for example 4 days, ein zeh dever, it's not considered dever. Continues the Braisa, ve'ir hamoitzio chamesh meis ragli, a city that has 500 men, kegoin kfar omikoi, a place called kfar amikoi, ve'yotzo imeno shloisha meisim begimel yomim zeach hazeh, like we saw in the Mishnah, three people died, one on each of three consecutive days, harei zeh dever, is the same ratio as we saw before, and it's considered dever. B'yom echod, however, if they died in one day, oy barbo yomim, or over 4 days, ein zeh dever, it's not considered dever. And now the Gemara is going to discuss a specific place, a city, where these people died, but on a single day. Drakoyrt. There was this place called Drakoyrt. Ir hamoitzio chameishmo isragliava. There were 500 healthy men in that city. And three people died in it on one day. So according to the Mishnah and the Braisa, that would not be called a dever. Nonetheless, Gozar of Nachman bar Rav Chisda, he decreed Taniso fast day. And this seems to contradict what we just learnt. We learnt in the Braisa that if they die on one day, it's just a coincidence, it's not called a dever. Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok. Of Nachman by Yitzchok says, Kaman, that of Nachman bar Chisda was following who? Kereb Meir. He was following the opinion of Reb Meir. The Omer that says in a very different context, but it's obviously being learned here as well. And to understand this, we'll just introduce a concept we're going to learn about later on in Shas. And that is that if an ox gores three times, then this ox has the status of a Shoyer Muad, and not just of a Shoyer Tam, and the halachic ramifications of that we're going to learn in Mirtz Hashem in Seyd and Azikin later on in Shas. The question is that to be called a Nagchon, to be called a Shoyer Muad, does it have to be three times over 3 days? Or even if this ox gores three times in one day, it's considered a Shoyer Muad? So that's a machloikus, and the opinion of Rab Meir is that if richeik negichos of chayev, if the gorings are spaced out over 3 days, then his chayev, then this ox has the halachas of a shoyer muad, then kirev negichos of, even more so, if the three gorings were done very close to each other, they were concentrated on a single day, leikolshkan, even more so, it will have the status of a shoyer muad. And the same would apply here. If three people dying over 3 days is considered dever, all the more so it would be considered dever if they died on one day. That's the opinion of Reb Meir, well, at least that's how Rav Nachman by Yitzchok explained Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda that it would be called a dever. And now, since the Gemara had explained that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok found an opinion to back up what Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda had said, or what Rav Nachman bar Chisda had decreed a fast day, the Gemara is now going to tell us something about the relationship between Rav Nachman bar Chisda and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Omar le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda turned to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok and said, Leikum mar, let the master rise up, and leisa le Gabon, and come and live amongst us, and where I, Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda, live, it's a much more distinguished place than where you, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, live. Omer le, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok answered him and said, Tanina, we learnt in a braisa that Rabbi Yosi Oimer, loy mekoymoy shel odom mechabdoy. It's not a person's place that gives honor to the person, ela odom mechabed es mekoymoy, but rather it's the person who gives honor to the place. And therefore, I will not gain any honor just by moving somewhere else, because it's a place does not give a person honor. What does honor a place? The people honor a place. Who I am honors my place, but my place doesn't honor me. Where do we find that an odom is mechabed es mekoymoy, that the presence of greatness makes the place into a greater place, into a more honorable place? Shekein motzinu bar Sina, we find that with Har Sinai. Shekol zman shashchina shruya olav, all the while that the shchina was on the Har Sinai. Omra Torah, the Torah said, gam atzoyin va'abokor al yiru el mul ahor. Hahu. That the sheep, the cattle, are not allowed to graze near the mountain. Nistalko shchino mimeno. When 10 months later, approximately, when the shchina left Har Sinai, then the Omra Torah, the Torah says, Bim shoicha yovel heimo yalu bahor. Only then, when the shofar, the blast of the shofar, is going to be an extended blowing, which is typical for a final blowing, then it will terminate, it will mark the termination of the Shechina being on the mountain, and then they can go up on the mountain and graze. So you see clearly that the presence of the Shechina is what gave honor to the mountain. Another demonstration of this, V'chein matzinu bo'el moed shebamidbor, the same is found by the Mishkan, shekol zman shehu notui, all the while that the Mishkan was pitched, was erect, then Omra Torah, the Torah says, V'yishalchu min amachane kol tzorua, V'chol zov, that anyone who is either got Tsoras or is Tommy of Azov or is Tommy to dead person is not allowed to be in the camp with the Mishkan. Huglu aparoiches. However, when the curtain surrounding the Mishkan was rolled up and they were now going to dismantle and disassemble the Mishkan for travelling, Hutru Zovim v'Mitzrayim likonis l'sham, then the Zovim and the Mitzrayim were allowed to come into that place where the Mishkan had stood. So you see clearly that it's the presence of the Mishkan is what gave the Kedusha, the honour, to the place where it was standing. Omar Leib, so if Nachman bar Yitzchok now said to Rav Nachman bar Chizda, Yehochi, if you're not going to come and live near us, Neikem ano legabe mar, then I will arise and I'm going to move near you. Omale, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok answered him, Mutav yavoi mone ben pras etzel mone ben mone. Rather that a mone, which is 100 dinars, which is the son of a pras is a half, is a part, is 50 dinars. A mone, the son of a pras, should rather come etzel mone ben mone to a mone, the son of a mone, rather than v'al yovoi, and not that a mone ben mone etzel mone ben pras. A mone, the son of a mone, should not come, it's not proper to have to come to a mone ben pras. And what's going on here? Rav Nachman and the two Rav Nachmans, they were both considered a mone. But there's a difference between Rav Nachman and Rav Nachman. That one was Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, the son of Yitzchok. It doesn't say the son of Rav Yitzchok. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok was the son of Yitzchok, and this Yitzchok had not had smicha. However, the other Rav Nachman was Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda, and his father was also called Rav. And therefore, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok said to Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda, rather that I come to you than you come to me. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara is now going to tell us of a story of how a tzaddik saved a whole neighborhood from a plague. Besura havas devarta. In the place of Sura, there was a dever, a plague. And beshvivusei de Rav, however, in the neighborhood of Rav, loy havas devarta. There was no plague. Sovru mine. The people took it for granted, they concluded, that Mishum Schusei de Rav, it was in Rav's merit to Nofish, that Rav has many merits and he's very great. It was obviously in his merit that the neighborhood didn't suffer from the plague. Ischaziluhu bechilma. However, they were shown in a dream that no, Rav de Nofishu Schusei Tuvei, Rav, who is so great and has so many merits, ha milsusa zuchalei l'Rav. Then what's going on here didn't need somebody as great as Rav to protect this neighborhood. There's somebody who's not as great as Rav, and in that person's merit, the neighborhood was saved. Elo mishumahu gavra, there was a certain person, deshayil mora uzvilo likvura, he would regularly lend his hoe and shovel for burials, and in that merit, they didn't have anyone dying from the plague. And now a similar incident regarding a fire. Bedreikta havas deleikta. In the place of Dereikta, there was a fire. Ubishvivusei de Rav Huna, but in the neighborhood of Rav Huna, loy havas lekta, there was no fire there. Sovru mino, they assumed, bischusa de Rav Huna, de Nofish. It was the great zchusim and merits of Rav Huna that saved them. Ischazilu bechelma, again, they saw in a dream, hai zutrelei l'Rav Chizda. This doesn't need Rav Chizda, this is like small for Rav Chizda. A small, relatively small miracle like this didn't need somebody as great as Rav Chizda, there was somebody else. Ela mishuma hi itza. There was this woman, demischamime tanura, who would heat up her oven, umashayli l'shivivusei, and she would make it available for her neighbors to cook and bake in, and in that merit, there was no fire in that neighborhood. Continues the Gemara, omali l'Rav Yehuda. They said to Rav Yehuda, osu kamtza, the locusts have come. Gozar Tanisa, Rav Yehuda said, we know from our Mishnah that when locusts come, you have to decree a fast day. He decreed a fast day. Omru Lei, Loiko Mafsidon. So they said to Rav Yehuda that the locusts are not destroying anything. So why should we have a fast day? Omer Luhur, Rav Yehuda said to the people, Zavda Aisebadayu. What, these locusts have come and brought provisions with them? If Hashem doesn't interfere, these locusts will soon get hungry and they are going to destroy everything. And therefore, he decreed a fast day. Another incident, Omru Leila Rav Yehuda, Ika Moisno Bechaziri. There's a plague, that's a deadly plague amongst the pigs. Gozar Tanisa. Even though a Yid would never be directly affected by this because Yidden don't eat pig, but you said that we have to make she decreed a fast day. Asks the Gemara, Neima Kosovar of Yehuda, could it be that Rav Yehuda holds that Mako Mushulachas b'min Echod Mushulachas b'chol aminim? That Rav Yehuda assumed that if one species has a plague, other species will also get a plague? And therefore, if the pigs have this plague, then the kosher animals will also get a plague, and then the people eating the kosher animals will get hurt, and that's why he decreed a fast day? Says the Gemara, Loi, that's not what Rav Yehuda held. Rather, Shani Chaziri, pigs are different, the damyon me'ayhu lebnei insha. The digestive system of the pigs somewhat are similar and resembles those of human beings, and therefore, if a plague struck the pigs, then there's a good chance that the plague is going to strike the people as well, and therefore Rav Yehuda decreed a fast day. Continues the Gemara, Omru Leila Shmuel. This time it was Shmuel that was approached, and they said to him, Ika Moisna Beichuzoi. In the town in Bovel called Beichuzoi, there's a deadly plague. Gozar Tanisa. So even though Shmuel didn't live in Beichuzoi, but he decreed a fast day in his place. Omer Le, v'homerachik, they said to him, but it's far away from where we live, we're not in danger. Omer, he said to them, leka ma'aboro hocha, the posik le. So the literal translation of these words is that there's no river, there's no crossing of a river that is going to halt, that's going to stop this plague from spreading all the way here. But Rashi has a different version of the Gemara. Rashi says, v'chi ma'abra posak lehu, can a bridge or any other barrier stop the spread of a plague? He was more or less saying to them, either way, that if there's a plague far away, ultimately it can spread to here as well, and therefore he decreed a fast day. Omru Leila Rav Nachman, they once said to Rav Nachman, who also lived in Bovel, Ika Moisna Ba'arad Yisrael, there's a deadly plague in Eretz Yisrael, not even in Bovel. Gozar Tanisa, he decreed a fast day to where he was in Bovel. Omar, and he commented, saying, Im Gvira Loika Shivcha Loikolshkin, if a mistress, which is referring to Eretz Yisrael, is stricken, then the maidservant, which alludes to Bovel, even more so, is in danger. Asks the Gemara, Taimo de Gvirta v'shivcha, is the only reason that Rav Nachman decreed a fast day was because the original place where the plague is now is the Gvirto, is the mistress, and his country was the maidservant, was in Bovel. Ha shivcha v'shivcha loy. But what would be if there would be two lands outside Eretz Yisrael, and one of them has a plague and the other one not? Would you not say that there has to be a fast day there? V'ha'omru leilu Shmuel, was there not a different incident where they said to Shmuel, Ika Moisono, there's a deadly plague, Beichuzoi, in a far-off place of Beichuzoi, which was not in Eretz Yisrael, and Gozar Tanisa, and Shmuel decreed a fast day in his place of Nardor, that were both in Bovel, and both not in Eretz Yisrael, they're both considered, so to speak, a Shifcha, a maidservant, and are you suggesting that in that case that there wouldn't be a fast day? He did decree a fast day even in such a case. Says the Gemara, Shani Hosam, in that case of Shmuel it's different. Kiven de Ikka Shayorosa de Levai, since there are caravans between Beichazoi and Narador, Vaasya Bahadei, and the plague can accompany those who are travelling to and from, that means from the place of Beichuzoi and coming to Narador, and therefore Shmuel realized that his place Narador was at risk of the plague in Beichuzoi, and therefore he decreed a fast. Continues the Gemara, Abba Umno. Abba was a bloodletter. Possibly he was a doctor, a surgeon, but he was somebody who was a letting blood. It was a practice that was very common back in the day. He would receive greetings and peace from the heavenly courts every single day. Every day, a basko, the heavenly voice, would call out to him and say, Shalom Alecha, peace unto you. That was this doctor, this surgeon, this umono. An umono was a bloodletter. However, Ulabaya, a great sage Abaya, Kol Maila Yoima de Shabta, he would only receive such greetings once a week on Friday. L'Rova, and the great sage Rava, Kol Maila Yoima de Kippura, he only received such greetings once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. Hava Kocholche Daite de Abaya Mishum de Abba Umno. Abai was feeling distressed and he was feeling out of sorts. How could it be that this blood letter called Abba, that he had the merit of having this greeting every single day, whilst he, Abaya, only got it once a week? Omrule, they said to Abaya, don't worry. The reason that he gets it is because Lemotsis Lemevad Koivode, because he's doing something very unique and you're not able to perform those unique deeds that he's doing, and that's why he's deserving of it and you're less. What was the special deed of this Abba Umno? Says the Gemara, Dechihava Ovid Milsa, when he would do his job of letting blood, what we would call today the medical procedure, have a mochis gavre lechud v'noshe lechud. First and foremost, he would put the men separately and the women separately. In the waiting room, they would be separate for men and for women, that they should not intermingle, and that was already a virtue in tznius. And not only that, v'isle levusha d'ispe karno. He had a special garment, and the instrument that he used with which to let blood was attached to it, the havas bezio ki kusilta, and there was just a very small slit in the garment, enough for him to make the incision into the vein to let the blood, and then this keren, the horn attached to it, would receive the blood. And ki hava isis le'itza, when a woman would come to him for this procedure, hava malbishlo, he would put this onto the woman, ki heicha deloi nistakilbo, in order he would not have to look at her, in order that none of her body should be exposed to him whilst he was doing the procedure. And not only that, to top it all up, v'isle iduchte de tzina, he had a private place, a small room on the side, de shodi be pshiti de shokil, and his patients, the people who he would do this procedure with, then the coins that they would deposit for the fee that they had to pay him, they would put it in that room. De isle, anyone who had money and could afford to pay him, shodi be, they would put the money in it. De lesle, and somebody who did not have any money, lo ilichsef, he wasn't embarrassed because everybody went through that room and nobody could see who paid and who didn't pay. And that way, there was no embarrassment. Ki hava isram le tzurim rabbonon, and when a young Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, was one of his patients, agro minei lo shokil, he wouldn't take any fee from him. Ubosor dekoi, and after this Talmud Chacham would leave, would get up to go, yoiv le pshiti, not only would he not ask the Talmud Chacham to pay, but this Abba Umono would actually give him some coins. V'omer lein would say to him, zil bri nafshach, go and take this money and restore your health. Buy the necessary food you need to regain your strength after having lost the blood. And now that Abaya had heard about these tremendous virtues of this doctor, of this Abba Umono, Abaya decided he was going to investigate more about this person. Yom Echad, one day, Shodar Abaya Zugod Rabbonon Lemivdekei. Abaya sent a pair of Talmidei Chachomim to test him. Oisvinu, when they came, then this Abba Umono sat them down. V'ochlinu, he gave them to eat. V'ashkinu, he gave them to drink. Umochlehu, and he folded up for them. Bistarkei, some woolen rugs, balela, for them to sleep on at night. Letzafra, in the morning, korchinu, these two Talmidei Chachomim rolled up these woolen rugs, v'shaklinu, and took them. V'komu, they arose, v'nofkulu l'shuka, they went out to the marketplace. V'ashkechinu, and they found their host, Abba Umono, in the marketplace. Omru lei, so these two Talmidei Chachomim said to Abba Umono, l'shai meimar heich l'shovu, can you please evaluate for us how much these rugs are worth, and maybe you can buy them from us? And Rashi explains that he was testing him, and they were testing him, and they were going to see, number one, was he going to accuse them of having stolen these rugs from him? Or at least would he decide, listen, if these are thieves, I might as well just make the best deal I can. They have no idea how much these rugs cost. Then I'll tell them that they cost, and I'll undervalue them just in order that I should be able to rebuy my own rags at a price that's the least the better. Omar Luhu. So he said to them, Hochi v'hochi, this is how much they're worth. Omru lei, they said to him, V'dilma shavu tfei, maybe they're worth even more than that. Omar Luhu, he said to them, B'hochi shaklinhu, when I bought rugs like this, that's exactly what I paid for them. Omru lei, they said to him, Ditchoninhu, the truth is, these are really yours. V'shaklinhu minoch, and we took them from your house. And now Omrulei, these two Chachomim, said to this Abba Umono, B'matuso minoch, please, B'maycha shatinon, what did you suspect us of when we took these rugs from you this morning? Omar Luhui said to them, Amina, I said to myself, Pidyon shvuyim ikle luhu l'rabonon, you Rabonon, that you must be trying to ransom some captives, and you needed the money for the ransom. And you embarrassed to tell me about it. You embarrassed to ask me for money openly. And therefore, you went through this whole thing of taking the rugs and then trying to sell them in order that I should give you money so that you can ransom the captives. They said to him, now, at least take them back. They're yours. You passed the test. Take them back. Omar Lui said to them, from that very moment that I assumed that you took these rugs for a purpose of tzedakah, I put these rugs out of my mind, and I assigned them for tzedakah. So that gives us a little bit of a window into the greatness of this Abba Umono. And now we can understand why he got these greetings from heaven every single day. Now, we mentioned before that Abaya got these greetings once a week, whereas Rava got them just once a year. So the Gemara now continues and says that Hava kochol shedaite de Rava mishum Abaya. Rava was feeling a bit distressed. Why was it that he was only getting greetings once a year, whereas Abaya was getting them every week? Omrule, they said to him, Mistayach, it should be enough for you to come magnis akula krocha, that you are protecting the entire city in your merit. And the Mefarshim discuss why that should be a reason that he doesn't get greetings every week like Abaya did, but either way, this seemed to be a good enough reason to satisfy Rava's query why he wasn't getting greetings every week. It wasn't because of his inferiority, it was something to do with his superiority. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.